Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The Northwest Missouri State University Department of Theater will continue a 21-year tradition this week. Professor of Theater at Northwest, Dr. Theo Ross, says new students at the university will present this season's first theater production.
So often a student comes into a new program, they come from different backgrounds, and it takes a while for them to get settled in and get acclimated. And some of the larger schools where a theater major will begin their program and not really get on stage or become active until they're in their second or maybe third year, it's too late for them then to really decide if they want to stay in that major or what area they want to focus on. And in the meantime, they've been studying, but they haven't been able to practice their craft. So we said, why do that? Let's just get them on stage right away. And so we started this program where within the first month of their college career, we work an entire main stage show and we put them up on the main stage of the Mary Lynn Auditorium. And everybody gets to come and see them. And in the meantime, they have not only learned our processes and our procedures, but they've also thought about how they fit into our program, which means that by the 1st of October, we have students who are now oriented and who know what they're doing, and it's smooth sailing from then on.
What is the production that they'll be presenting this year?
This year the show is called Almost Maine, and it's a really nice, kind of a sweet little play. It's made up actually of a series of nine scenes or small vignettes. They're all two-person scenes, and they take place in the mythical or magical town of Almost Maine, the city of Almost, but it never got around to being incorporated, so that's where the name Almost comes from. And these villagers, you might say, live in a place where they have a great beauty and great warmth, although it's the middle of winter. It is Maine after all, but it's a great emotional warmth. And we see these characters interacting with each other at one particular moment, a magical moment where the northern lights, the aurora borealis, comes out in the middle of winter.
Does the fact that this is a production for new students to Northwest, does it have any impact on the play that you choose?
A great deal of impact. We first of all want to find a show every year that can accommodate all of the new majors, because we do make every effort. In the past, we've been successful to get every new student either on stage if they're an acting major, or in a significant production position if they're a technical major. So we sort of guarantee that if you come here, you will participate in the show. But we also have to be flexible in the show, in the selection, because we don't know how many kids we'll actually end up getting. So we first of all look for something that can be adapted to within a range, a certain number of students. Then, of course, we want something that can be actable by a wide range of abilities and levels of experience, because we get students from all over and with varying levels of expertise or experience. So we want characters that are varied. We try to find something that is basically in their age range, and also something that can be put together in a month or less than a month. So there are a lot of criteria that we look at, and this show fits them all just really very well.
How many students are involved in this production?
We have 19 performers on stage, and I think there are about seven first-year students who are going to be working backstage or operating our light board and our soundboard. But then we have all the upper-class students who are serving in assistant positions to me, because they've been preparing the show since last year, actually. Or students who are participating in the shops. They're helping build the set for the freshmen. They're helping design costumes and put lights up. And so we will have a number of upperclassmen who are helping our first-year students get oriented and to put the show up. All in all, it's probably about a 40 to 50-person show.
But it sounds like it's just as valuable to the upperclassmen as it is to the new students.
Absolutely. We have students who will be serving in design positions as well as the performers and the technicians. We have also a number of students who serve as mentors to the first year students. Again, that helps them get acclimated more quickly. They have somebody they can connect with and somebody they can go to if they have questions or problems. And it's a great opportunity for our upper class students to provide role models or other kinds of advice positions to the first year students.
Back to the play itself, is mm-hmm. there anything that you especially like about this production?
Oh, I'm liking a lot about it this year, actually, because not only are the students, of course, working hard and getting a lot out of it, but we have some particular technical elements that I think the audience will be interested in. We're going to bring the audience into this environment more than we oftentimes do, or maybe I should say we're taking the environment out to the audience. So we're using a sort of a traveling or a visiting main motif. We hope the audience feels like they're going to be coming and visiting almost with some of these other characters. And I think they'll find that the lighting effects and the sound and some of those other technical elements will be just as much a part of the impression or as much a part of the performance, I should say, as the acting.
Director of the Northwest Missouri State Freshman Transfer Showcase, Almost Maine, Dr. Theo Ross. He says the production opens at the Mary Lynn Auditorium in the Ron Houston Center for the Performing Arts. Curtain time is tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday evenings at 7:30, with a Sunday matinee beginning at 2 o'clock. St. Joseph Symphony opens a new season this weekend. Music director Rico McNeela says the first concert will feature music that highlights the violin and a guest performer.
The concert is going to feature a really great violinist, Arturo Del Mone, who is the concertmaster of the New York City Ballet and a soloist in his own right. He's got lots of commercial recordings and he's well known across the country as a brilliant player. He's going to play the Brahms Violin Concerto, and the Beethoven Romance as featured pieces on the program.
How was this program developed?
Well, it was really designed around him. Once I got him to agree to come out, I thought I wanted to show him off as much as possible. So having him play two pieces was a way of doing that. The program focuses on really great master composers of the classical and romantic period. It's going to start with the Overture to the Marriage of Figaro by Mozart, and then Arturo will play the Beethoven, and after that we're going to play the Haydn Symphony No. 104 called the London, and then we'll finish with the Brahms after intermission. It's just a really exciting way to kick off our 2011-12 season, and we're just really, really lucky to get a violinist of Arturo Del Mone's stature to come out here and join us, and I think it's going to be a very, very exciting evening.
Do you have a favorite in this concert?
You know, I like all the music, but one thing I'm really looking forward to is the Haydn. I don't think Haydn has been done by the St. Joseph Symphony in years and years and years. And, you know, you hear Beethoven and Mozart symphonies a lot, but Haydn was this really great innovator with tremendous skill as a composer and a great sense of humor, and this is one of his truly magnificent symphonies. So I'm kind of looking, you know, as much as I love the Brahms Violin Concerto, I think I may be a little more excited about the Haydn Symphony.
Will Arturo be doing anything besides practicing and performing with the symphony while he's here?
We have a master class planned at the Missouri Western State University Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And that's going to be in the choir room. So anyone who's interested is welcome to join us for that.
That was the music director for the St. Joseph Symphony, Rico McNeela. He says the symphony's first performance of the season will be Saturday, beginning at 7:30 at the Missouri Theater in downtown St. Joseph. Tickets are available at the symphony website, stjosephsymphony.org, or by calling 816 816- 833-7701. The Missouri Arts Council is looking for a great short story. The Council has started a Missouri Short Story Competition. Assistant Director of the Missouri Arts Council is Michael Donovan. He says the competition is a new idea for this council.
We wanted to celebrate the idea of the story in Missouri, and we wanted to tie it into the one publication that we print, which is our annual report. So we're doing a competition where we're asking for people to submit an original fiction or nonfiction story that's exactly 40 lines long, 6.5 inches wide at 11 point Times Roman. And the story doesn't have to revolve around the arts, the Missouri Arts Council. It just needs to be interesting and original to be considered. And we're going to judge the stories and pick one to print. And then we'll give a small honorarium of $100 to the winning writer.
What's the point of doing a competition like this?
Well, the point is to bring attention to the many stories that exist in the state, and particularly the story writers, the authors that exist in the state, both professional and non-professional. We think the state is full of creative people, creative composers, and we are in the business of promoting all of them, all the arts, visual arts, performing arts, the literary arts.
What will you do with the stories then?
Well, the story that is chosen will be published in our next annual report by the end of the year as a line-by-page story. So from the beginning to the end of the report, the story will unfold one line per page over the next 40 pages. And it'll also be presented on our website, and we'll be promoting it publicly as well.
Is this the first time you've had this competition?
This is the first time we've had this competition, and we're very hopeful that there'll be lots of Missouri residents who will send us their unique and engaging stories to us.
What kind of stories do you think you'll be receiving?
I think they're going to be very personal stories. And, you know, 40 lines isn't a lot of space, and so it's not something that's going to require, you know, has room for a lot of character development. But I think it's going to be interesting and short, and probably pack a lot of heart and punch to it.
Is this limited to a certain age group, or can anybody enter this competition?
It could be any age. The winning writer just has to be a Missouri resident.
Okay. How many stories would you like to receive?
You know, it would be fun to see and read a lot of stories from all over the state. But the important thing is that we get one good story that is publishable, and I think that has broad appeal. We want it certainly to be a family-friendly story, but that fits the formatting requirements of 40 lines, 6.5 inches at 11 point times. That way we'll know that it will fit and run the length of our publication.
Now, when you say 40 lines, you don't necessarily mean 40 sentences.
No, I mean 40 physical lines on a typewritten page, on a word processing page, 40 individual lines.
Okay.
In sequence, yes, not 40 sentences.
If this is successful and lots of people send in stories, mm-hmm. Is this something that you'll continue?
I think it would be fun to continue this. Every year we have on the cover of our annual report a piece of artwork that appeared in the Missouri 50, which is the annual visual arts competition that takes place at the Missouri State Fair. And we use that artwork in our annual report and on a Missouri Arts Awards poster. It would be fun to have this tradition with the literary arts as well.
It strikes me as a great writing tool for schools. Do you know of any schools that are going to be working on this type of competition?
Well, we've been promoting it pretty widely, and we've also been promoting it through the Writers Guild throughout the state. And I think many of those writers also teach. So I think that there's a good chance that we'll get some school-age students submitting work as well.
Michael Donovan is the Assistant Director of the Missouri Arts Council. He says to submit a story, you can email that story to alexis.nugent@ded.mo.gov, or you can mail it to the Missouri Arts Council's office in St. Louis. Again, the story should be a creative fiction or nonfiction story that's exactly 40 lines and 6.5 inches wide at 11 point times font. The deadline for submissions is October 5th. First Thursday's noontime concert in St. Joseph for October has been canceled. Music director at the First Presbyterian Church in St. Joseph and the organizer of the First Thursday's concerts, Jerry Anderson, says an unexpected mechanical failure has forced the cancellation.
The church boiler has gone dead on us, and so we're having to replace it, and it can't be replaced until by the end of October.
Who had you planned on performing for this month?
It was going to be Steve Malloy on trumpet and myself on organ. And the temperature is especially important when you're using a pipe organ because the temperature of the air determines the tuning. And since we can't guarantee that the temperature will be anywhere near 72 degrees, the organ might be way, way out of tune. So that's why we feel it's actually better to cancel. We're actually, in a way, not canceling. We're rescheduling it for next October.
Since it's canceled for October, who's coming up in November?
I'll be the choral groups from Missouri Western State University. They're directed by Dr. David Benz and Dr. Roger Hale.
Now, you've been doing this for 12 years now. Has anything like this ever happened before?
No. I fell and fractured my arm one time when I was supposed to play, and we've canceled because of bad weather once or twice. But we certainly have never had a boiler go out because this boiler is about 40 years old.
That was organizer of the First Thursday's Noontime Concert Series in St. Joseph, Jerry Anderson. He says the next concert will be Thursday, November 3rd at 1210 at the First Presbyterian Church at 7th and Jewell Streets in downtown St. Joseph.
Drive is a slickly produced, beautifully paced, first-rate thriller. One of those movies that keep you from leaving the theater to go to the bathroom. In the opening sequence, we are introduced to the driver, played by Ron Gosling, and the driver is the only name we ever get for him. On one level, the film was a journey through the seamy criminal subculture of mobs, here Jewish and Italian mafias. The brilliant opening sequence lasts nearly 10 minutes with no dialogue at all. But we learn a lot. The driver is, among other things, a wheelman in robberies. The opening shots have him waiting outside in his car. He usually boosts one before the caper, while two robbers do their business. His rule is that he'll wait only a certain amount of time, maybe 5 minutes, for the thieves to get back. In this opening sequence, no words are spoken, and Gosling's face doesn't change a lot, but enough. We can see the tension building in him as the time clicks down. The two robbers come running out of the building with their loot, but they've tripped an alarm. Sirens approach. This begins a long chase scene that establishes the driver's creds and his cool, all with no words between him and the robbers and with little expression on Gosling's face, just enough to show he's kind of enjoying the chase. And, of course, he shakes his pursuers. This wordless sequence tells us more than would a lot of shouting from the actors. In succeeding scenes, we learn that the driver has a day job as a mechanic. He's also a part-time stunt driver for movies, in addition to gigs as a wheelman in robberies. Is this guy cool? Do bears eat berries in the woods? He seems apparently emotionless, though Gosling shows that much lurks beneath the surface. But Irene, played by Carrie Mulligan, a pretty woman who lives in his apartment house with her 6-year-old son, warms his cold, cold heart, and he starts to come alive a little at a time. We gradually learn that Irene's husband has been in prison. It takes her a while to tell the driver she's married, and by the time she does, he's bonded to the little boy and Irene, taking them out for, well, drives. The real conflict starts with a robbery in which the driver drives that goes south since the money stolen proves to have come from the mob. I can't describe more without telling too much about the plot. Suffice it to say that the driver is in danger because of his feelings for Irene and her son, who are innocent bystanders. He ends up with a contract out on him, but he's far more dangerous than anyone who tries to kill him. The last third of the movie gradually devolves into bloody violence, with all the plot angles finally explained. The driver has finally found emotional attachment in his chaste love for Irene, and he proves to be a formidable protector. Director Nicholas Winding Refn seems to be channeling the classic Western movie Shane, replaced in the mean streets of the city. Like Shane, the driver is a violent man who's led to acts of kindness. He's a man of few words. He clearly loves Irene and her son, and she comes to love him. He becomes a protector of the innocent. But neither can communicate their feelings. Like Shane, he tries to protect his loved one's husband. And though I can't describe it here, the ending of the two films are similar. I guess we like stories of redemption and doomed love. Ryan Gosling should get Oscar consideration for his portrayal of the driver. He makes us understand the action and the inner workings of the ultra-violent and emotionally challenged driver with little dialogue. Throughout the first half of the film, Gosling portrays a sort of controlled menace that gradually builds. Then once aroused, he's a killing machine who protects those he loves. The driver isn't for everybody. He has a well-deserved R rating for violence, maybe more than some people would like. But this is one of those movies I want to see again when it comes out in DVD. I'm giving Drive 4 stars out of 5.
That was KXCD KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.